Oh my God, this is an awesome subject. Insight into the unseen. We look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now, this Bible, I call this Bible, your Bible, the inventory of the unseen. By it, you will find out that God has pulled back the curtain in our lives. He's pulled back the curtain to show us the blessings of things that are not seen. Psalms 119:89, just write it down, says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." So God is speaking to us of things we can't see, but they are spiritual realities. They are spiritual realities. Now, we understand from the first chapter in the Bible that God made us like him. I always go back there to Genesis, the first chapter, and the 26th verse. And it's such an astounding scripture because it describes, you know, you if you want to know about you, you can't just go through black history or white history or Italian history or Spanish history. You have to go back to the history of how you were made. And it says, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion." We are made like God. I hope that settles into your spirit. We're made like God. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians, and I'll throw out a few scriptures now. I hope you can just write them down. You don't have to turn to it right now, but 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, on the 23rd verse, talks to us about being made three parts. There are three parts to us. There is a spirit, there is a soul, and there is a body. There is a part of you that is unseen. It's inside. You see the outside of me, but you cannot see the hidden man that's inside here. But the hidden part of me is the part that's connected to God. Proverbs tells us in the 4th chapter and the 23rd verse, I think it is. Yeah, it's the 4th chapter and the 23rd verse. It tells us that we have to keep diligently, we have to keep our heart, which is our inner man. I consider my inner man or the hidden man my heart. It's the center of my being. Now, God made us like him. As we begin to go and discover unseen things, unseen features, unseen characteristics of ourselves, we learn some things that are so exciting. And I want you to be with me tonight in my excitement. I am excited to find out that I'm not just a slave, I'm not just a servant, but I've been made like God. Wow. And you know something? God has really given to us things that are just thrilling. He put us on a certain level. He helps us to be on a certain level that's connected to him. He calls us his children. Oh my God, to be a child of God. This is what we are. And the scriptures let us know. Now, what I've done is, somebody said, you know, you need to make a list of things. If you're going to, you know, I've listed about 10 things tonight that I want to go through. Some of it is review because I want you to begin to list the things that are unseen, that are insights into them. The first thing is that we're made like God. That's number one. I've written them down here. Number one is that we're made like God. Number two is that we are three parts. We are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. But now the highest part of you, the part of you that's to rule, is your spirit man. That's the part that's like God. That's the part that we have to really focus in on. Now, the third thing I want you to remember is that because we have been made like God, God has given to us his creative power. Woo! Wow. Many of us have been satisfied just being servants of the Most High God, which to me, oh my Lord, if you could spend your life being servants of the Most High God, which is wonderful. But he has also given to us his creative power. I found this scripture in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, and I'm telling you, it just sets me off. The 10th chapter of Romans and the 6th verse. Now, I said the Bible is the inventory of unseen things, so just kind of go with me. The third point I want to make is that God has given to us his creative power. Look at this. It says, but the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Or, seventh verse, who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. Don't say that. Don't say who's going to bring Christ down. Don't say who's going to bring him up. This is what the scripture is saying. It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. The word, the creative force of God, is now in your heart and in your mouth. That means it's going to be time for you to say certain things like your daddy. You're going to have to begin to speak certain things like your father. The scriptures tell us this. Don't keep saying who's going to bring Jesus down. Don't keep saying who's going to bring him up. The word, the creative force of God is now in your mouth and it is now in your heart. Now, you may not think very much of your own words, but God does. He made you like him and he gave you this creative force. Hallelujah. It's a very powerful thing. Now, he's given us this wonderful creative force, and the expectation is that we're going to use it powerfully. God made us to be in the ruling family of the universe. If you are the children of the Most High God, if you are made like God, you are in the ruling family of the universe. Oh, there's time. We've got to learn some things because we've been slaves so long. Till now, we're going to have a total transformation of our minds to begin to move into this. But come on, let's just go into it. Now, I said last time that we are to have three things, whatever we sow, whatever we say, and whatever we see, whatever. Galatians, the 6th chapter, 9th verse, says that whatever a man sows, that's what he reaps. Whether he sows good or whether he sows evil, that's what he reaps. Whatever he sows, if you desire to have a change, you have to sow. Sowing is planting. You have to begin to initiate the action. The second thing is whatever we say. Mark 11, 23, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. Now, I know this is talking about men speaking to mountains. It sounds far-fetched. It sounds like something out of science fiction. But this is the expectation that God has for people he made like him. The third thing is you are to have whatever you see. Mark 11, the 24th verse says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. Believing is seeing with the eyes of faith. You are designed to have whatever you sow. So your money and the increase of your money is up to you. It's not up to God. It's whatever you sow. And you're supposed to have whatever you say. Oh my God, do you mean to tell me that there's a power in my lips? A power? Yes. Yes. That's the fourth point I want to make, that we are empowered. And whatever we sow, whatever we say, and whatever we see, we are supposed to have that. Now, the fifth point is, and somebody just asked me, put these points together, Pastor Al, so I'm putting it together tonight. The fifth point is we grow on spirit food. Matthew, the 4th chapter and the 4th verse says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. Now, what do you mean living by every word? You've got to open up the inventory of the unseen and see what's there for you. You got to learn. Why do we have to learn? This whole thing is the fact that we were made like God and we were made in his image. And he didn't say, I made you to worship me. That's not what he said. He said, let them have dominion. The first words out of his mouth was that you're supposed to dominate. Now, I'm the same as you. I love to worship the Lord. But the ancient mandate is that you take dominion, that you take dominion. Now, how are you going to grow? You're going to grow on spirit food. You're going to grow in an understanding of your dominion. You're going to grow in an understanding of your authority. What happened? God made us like him, but one of the first choices Adam made was the wrong choice. And we fell. We fell below the angels. We fell below the animals. The animals could rise up and kill us. We fell below diseases. But God, from the beginning of time, has hatched a plan to bring us back up to the place that we fell from. That's what redemption is all about. This is a trip. You going with me on a trip. Our trip is to go from the guttermost to the uttermost. This trip, redemption, is taking us back to where we fell from. We fell from the garden, and God is restoring us back there. He is not just doing what America did to the slaves, just sign the Emancipation Proclamation and just let them off the plantation with not giving them back no reparations for what was stolen from them. But God says, no, I'm redeeming. I'm bringing you all the way back up to the authority that you lost. So the last point I made, the fourth point, was that we are to have whatever we sow, whatever we say, and whatever we see. Wow, that's exciting to me. Now, we grow on spirit food. You're going to grow the more you go into this inventory of the unseen, the more you read it. It's going to feed your spirit man. I mean, it's going to make your spirit man a little angry, too, because you have allowed life to do the things that you have allowed it to do to you. But even as you see it, you're going to begin to, I tell you, the outrage is going to come. And that's what we need for the kingdom. The scriptures tell us the kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. It's time for you to take your stuff. You got an enemy, will take everything you got. It's time for you to take your stuff back from the enemy. So I said, the fifth point is that we grow on spirit food, and that spirit food is the word of God. Now, the sixth point is this. Now, this is a change in thinking. We are heirs or owners. We are heirs or owners. Now, an heir implies, it implies one thing, no, two. It implies the thing, you are an owner, but you got your stuff by somebody else's work, not by your work. You inherited what you have, but you are the owner. Heirs mean that you own the thing, and it's time for a mind change among all believers. I've given you the scripture, Psalms 115, 16, which says the heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth has he given to the children of men. You have inherited the earth. If you turn to Matthew, the 16th chapter and the 19th verse, and you go to the contemporary English translation, it says, whatever you allow on earth, I will allow in heaven. And whatever you do not allow on earth, I will not allow in heaven. I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. What is God doing? This walk of Christianity is not just for us to remain under slavery, just to be slaves working in the fields, but God is redeeming us, bringing us back up into authority, the authority that we lost ever since we fell. He has been working on bringing us back up and raising us back up. We just celebrated Easter. And I tell everybody I know, because of the revelations that God has given to us, I tell everybody I know, when you celebrate Easter, when you celebrate the resurrection, don't just, oh, it's enough for Jesus. Gee, he rose from the dead. He's not the only one that rose from the dead. We were dead and we rose. So not only did he rise from the dead, we rose from the dead. And now we are alive forevermore. Now, we are heirs, and that means we are owners. Heirs, joint heirs with Christ, and Jesus left the scene. So that makes you the sole heir now. Oh, my God, we are heirs. That's supposed to affect your thinking. Now, you own. Don't let the devil take what you own. Oh, my God. That's number six. Number seven is along the same line. Our absolute authority over the unseen enemy is useless if not exercised. Our absolute authority. Colossians, the second chapter and the 15th verse says, he spoiled principalities and powers. In other words, he defeated them. He utterly defeated principalities and powers. Darkness of this world, he defeated them. He led captivity captive. Jesus did that. He defeated the ancient foe for us. And he said to us, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Luke, I think it's the 10th chapter and the 38th verse. I give you power over all the power of the enemy. All of it? Yes, all of it. So the statement I made before, whatever you allow, I will allow. Whatever you do not allow, I will not allow. Some of you need to take over the region where you live. Satan is not supposed to be ruling over your region. He's defeated. God has given you the power. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, around the 19th verse, when Jesus rose from the dead and said, all power in heaven and earth is in my hand. Everybody is still saying Jesus has all the power. No, he transferred the power. In that same chapter, did you see the transfer? Maybe you read the scripture, but you didn't see the transfer of power. He said, yes, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, but you go and now I will be with you. Changed everything. I don't know if you saw it, but the transfer of power happened at that time. Jesus came to raise us back up from the lowest part of life, back up. The scripture, I think it's in Ephesians, around the 2nd chapter, 6th verse says, he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Oh my God, this is powerful. That's the 7th part. The 7th point is our absolute authority over the unseen enemy is useless if not exercised. You're going to have to exercise that power. You're going to have to get up every day. I get up now. Every time when I just come to myself after I've slept a long time, I say, I take dominion. Why? Because Jesus has raised us back up. And if we're raised up in Adam, we lost everything. In Jesus, we have recovered all. And now it's time to fight and take it back in the name of Jesus. I tell you, I get stirred up about this. Okay, now the 8th point is this, along the same line. Death no longer reigns over us. Death no longer reigns. We do. I know we're still having funerals. I know people are still dying. A whole bunch of folk died under the COVID pandemic. But Jesus has said to us, you know, that we... death is not ruling anymore. How do you know death is not ruling anymore? Romans, the 5th chapter, 17th verse. Go to it at some point. It says, if King James Version says, if by one man's offense death reigned. One man. If Adam made one mistake, he was made like God, he made one mistake, it messed the whole thing up. Much more, they which receive the abundance of grace. That's you and that's me. We have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness, putting us into right standing with God. We shall reign in life by the one man, Jesus Christ. Death is no longer to reign. As a matter of fact, Proverbs tells us death and life is in the power of the tongue. Better watch what you say. If you plan on having years down here, you need to watch what you say. You just can't let everything out of your mouth. It's not, Jesus says, it's not what goes in the mouth that defiles the man. It's what comes out of his mouth. I'm still doing insights into the unseen. Here's the 9th one here. The 9th one says, the power of the unseen is the 6th sense called faith. Now, you are made a spirit being. You are in the family of God. You communicate with him. It's such a privilege to be able to communicate with God. He has moved to the inside of us. He has given us not just the 5 senses. We are not limited to touch, taste, smell, seeing, and hearing. We are not just limited to that. We have moved into something called faith. Faith is designed to claim things that you do not see, to move in things in a trust that you cannot always see the outcome, but you trust the word of God. Wow. 6th sense. You are supposed to be frustrated with your 5 senses. You're supposed to come into some trouble because you have been born again and have not yet used your 6th sense. We like having the paycheck to come, you know, on time. We don't want it to be disturbed. Well, what happens when the paycheck gets disturbed and doesn't come? That's good for you. It's good for you to begin to learn how to use the 6th sense, the sense of faith. It's powerful. Oh my God. Hebrews 11 chapter. I don't know if I have time to even read this here, but the 11th chapter in the Amplified Bible says this. I'll read it real quick for you. I'll tell you, I'm still excited about this. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. That means you own it, the title deed, of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Proof of things we don't see and the conviction of their faith, perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. If you have not yet, if you're not using your faith, I tell you, you are living below your privilege. You're living below your privilege. Now that's number nine. The power of the unseen is the sixth sense called faith. Here's another statement along the same lines. Problems on this level must be solved at a higher level. Problems that you're facing right now and the level you're facing, you got to go higher. You got to move into the realm of faith. How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing. Simple, not complicated. Faith comes by hearing and by hearing the word of God. You're going to have to turn something else off. You're going to have to stop listening to this and that. You're going to have to feed your spirit, man, that part of you that's like God. You're going to have to feed it spirit food. If you feed your spirit, spirit food, muscles will begin to form. You can just keep repeating. Faith muscles will form. Whereas you're fighting cancer, if you're fighting disease, or if you're fighting poverty, I tell you, as you continue to read the word and just focus in on that word and let that come into your spirit will come alive. And I tell you, you'll be able to drive out the things of the enemy. Now, the last thing here is one of the first scriptures I read. It's in the book of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, the first scripture actually I gave tonight. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. God chose the unseen to rule the seen. That's God. God chose that. That's not something that I concocted myself. God chose, here I am. God chose the unseen to rule the seen. Look at what the scripture says. But God hath chosen, King James, the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God chose the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised has God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Wow. When Abraham was looking and believing God for a son, the Lord came to him and the Lord said to him, I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham. Abraham meant father of nations. Every time somebody called his name, father multitude, every time they called his name, four, five, six times a day, they called him father of multitude, father of multitude, father of nations, father of nations. If you don't think the speaking of the word of God has an effect on this seen realm, you're missing it. It's time for you. When the doctors give you a certain report, the scripture says, who has believed our report? God chose unseen things to bring to nothing things that are seen. That cancer report says cancer's in your body. You're going to have to take the word and speak healing, speak healing, speak healing until you see it. Because you're going to have whatever you see and whatever you say. You're going to have to speak like a hammer, like a sledgehammer, hammering against the adversary, like a sledgehammer. They kept calling him Abraham. They kept calling him Abraham. It took some time for it to happen, but Sarah and Abraham had a child. He was 100, she was 90, and they had a child. Oh my God, this is what you are involved in. God made us like him. We messed up through Adam. A second Adam came, Jesus. We just went past the Easter season just the other day, and Jesus rose from the grave. He wasn't the only one raised. You have been raised. You have been raised to operate in the unseen. You're supposed to take the unseen word of God and bring it against what you see. I don't care what it looked like. You speak the word of God. If you will speak that word like Abraham, they just kept saying, father of nations, him and Sarah, they just got older and older. But the word of God hurled against a problem that you see. I gave you the scripture in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter on the 18th verse says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Why? Because God chose things that are not seen to bring to nothing. They're not nothing now. They're something now. But you are to bring them to nothing. How am I going to bring them to nothing? You're going to keep bringing the truth of the word of God. You're going to Abraham. Then they had that child. I'm here, I'm excited, because I don't just have to talk about the fall of Adam. I can talk about the resurrection of Jesus, because when he was raised, I was raised. And we have been designed to have whatever we sow, whatever we say, and whatever we see, because we have been moved into the family of God Almighty. We are to partake of divine nature. Now, yes, it's wonderful for you to be a person who's a believer and a servant of the Most High God, but did you know that you are made like him? Did you know it's time to go to school and to become skilled in the things of the unseen? I've given you these 10 things tonight. I want you to go back over them again. I want you to remember them. I want you to feed on them until the next time we get together. My time is just about up. I got like about 20 more seconds here. But I just want to say to you that this is exciting to me. Come with me. Let's go through this unseen realm. There are angels in this unseen realm. I hope to talk a little bit about that maybe the next time we get together. There are angels. There are unseen forces. There are unseen promises that God has for us. Oh, wow. There's my time. Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad that you came to be with me tonight in the study of insights into the unseen. The next time we get together, we're going to go a little bit further. Just get ready, because God is giving us much revelation in this area. Until the next time you come and we gather around these scriptures, blessings and favor upon your life, yours, and the life of those who you care about, in Jesus' name.